Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of 2 Peter today. This month, we've been talking about the book of Jude. We've been talking about the warnings against false teachers or apostasy, as we know about it. And we've been talking about that all this month. And last week, we dealt with the historical example of apostasy, the nation of Israel itself, and how that they had the blessings of God, they could enjoy the blessings of God, they were available for them. But you know how it is when we, sometimes when we have things, we take for granted those things that we have, and therefore we don't use them the way we ought to. We abuse them. Now, we talked about the nation of Israel and the freedom it had, how God would guide them by His glory cloud. God would provide for them the food, the flesh, and the bread. He also would, He led them across the Red Sea. This was their freedoms that God provided for them. But we find that they begin to rebel against God. Against Moses, that is, their leader. We find because of that, we found idolatry came into camp, so to speak. And then after idolatry, immorality, and then more rebellion against God. And so we find those freedoms were taken away from Israel. And we find last week that why did God record all this and let us know about this? And again, we said last week that He did this to instruct us concerning our weaknesses ourselves. We're just like the nation of Israel as far as people's concerned. And also to assure us concerning God's strength. God will enable us to do what we need to do. And God is not going to forsake His people. He never has, He never will. But yet He does judge sin. And we find this is in the nation of Israel last week. Now, today we want to continue. As we talk about false teachers or apostasy, you know, the world is full today of, there's probably more false teachers today than there ever been in time of history. All you got to do is turn on TV, you can find them, you can listen to them. Listen to some radio stations, not WHBY, but some radio stations. But you hear false teachers, people teaching stuff that is not true. But today I want us to look in 2 Peter chapter number 2, and we want to see today how Peter also instructs us concerning this matter of false teachers, as far as the danger of false teaching. How the Holy Spirit not only used Jude, but He also used Peter to instruct us with this. Before we begin, I want us to pray and ask God to bless our time together. Thank you for being here. Those that are visiting, welcome today. I trust you have a great day with us in God's house. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful now for this time that you've allowed us to be able to come together. I pray now the Holy Spirit of God will be our teacher. He will lead us and guide us today in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, may your word be the instructor today. Lord, as we read it together, may the Holy Spirit of God illumine our minds and our hearts to be willing and able to receive, Lord, the Word of God, the way you would have us to today. Lord, we commit now this time to you, this service. Lord, we do pray for those that are not able to be here, that you will bless them today. Lord, just lead us and guide us now in all that we say, in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, first of all, let's define a false teacher. A false teacher. A false teacher is not a person who teaches false doctrine out of ignorance. That's not who a false teacher is. A false teacher is someone who knows the truth, but yet deliberately tells a lie. That's a false teacher, okay? I may teach something, you may teach something, that because I'm not fully understanding and all this, that may not be true, okay? But I don't do it on purpose, because I haven't studied enough, because I haven't learned enough. I may say something and teach something that's not true. And, you know, that's why we have to really study and try to ask God to help us to know what to say. But if I deliberately know the truth and I stand before you and tell a lie, I am a false teacher. I am a false teacher. And so we find, now why do people do that? Why does somebody that knows the truth deliberately stand in front of people and tell lies from about the Word of God? First of all, they do it that they might promote themselves. They're trying to promote themselves when they do this. Secondly, they do it because they get financial gain from those that they can get following them. Now, I'll go no further than this. You can watch television, and some of the people on that television, you'll see all these things in their lives, okay? They're promoting themselves. They're trying to get financial gain because they're getting followers to follow them. Now, this is the false teacher, okay? Also, they might be able to sin in their lives, live like they want to live, and yet still please themselves because they have no standards, you see. They have no convictions in their lives. They can live the way they want to live because they deceive, and also they twist the Word of God to make it what they want it to say. These are false teachers, and there's plenty of them today, folks, in the world in which we live. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, and verse number 1, we see Peter's writing here. First of all, he says in verse number 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." Now, we know here Peter is saying this. He's saying false teachers are bound to appear. They have been in the past. They are today. False teachers are evident everywhere. They appear among people, even as members of a church. False teachers will. We also see they work secretly. They're secretly. They're behind the scenes, so to speak. They work secretly. They bring their false teachings alongside with the truth, and then they eventually twist the truth, replace the truth with their lies. These are what false teachers do. We also see their lives deny what they speak. In other words, they say one thing and live another thing. These are false teachers today. Now, notice something else about false teachers. Look at verse number 2. It says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Shall be evil spoken of. We see here the false way will be more popular than the true way. And that's where we live in today. The false way is more popular than the true way. You stand for the truth today, and people will mock you, ridicule you, and make fun of you. But if you stand for things that are not true, everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. And everybody will be your friend, you see. People choose to follow false teachers. It's a choice they make. Just like you make a choice to follow the truth, don't you? You're here in God's house. You want to know God's Word. You want to know the truth from God's Word. We all have a choice. We can follow the truth, or we can follow false teachers. And these kind of people, they do this. Why do people choose to follow false teachers? Why do people do that? I believe, first of all, because they exalt themselves, these false teachers do, more than they do Christ. Christ is very seldom mentioned in their speaking. So therefore, they exalt themselves more than they do Jesus Christ. Men today love to worship popular and successful people. Would you not acknowledge that is true? Look at the world today. People want to follow somebody that is popular, first of all, and that they're successful. People will follow that person no matter what they say, they believe it. They believe it. And that's the world we live in today. The false way makes it easy to live while practicing religion, if you please. In other words, I'll live the way I want to live. This is my religion. This is what I believe. And this is my lifestyle. You either accept it or you don't accept it. It's easy for people to do that. Now, notice in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Now that word feigned words there is means counterfeit words. They use counterfeit words. They know our vocabulary. Okay? False teachers know the vocabulary of those that are true teachers. But the thing is this, they don't use our dictionary. Their words mean different from what our words mean when they speak. Therefore, they're not true. These kind of people will destroy. False teachers will destroy people. Not only that, we see that Peter gives examples of false teachers and what happens when people do teach false here. So we see here what Peter's trying to tell us here. Now, in 2 Peter again, as we go back again over these verses here, we see Peter's telling us the corruption of false teachers, what they will do, how they will hurt you, how they will destroy your faith even if you listen to them. You get to where you don't know what you believe. Therefore, we need to stick to the Bible, hang on to the Bible. First of all, we find that Peter identifies them. He identifies them in this passage of Scripture, 2 Peter chapter number 2. Then he identifies their sins, their iniquities. And then he identifies their condemnation. Now notice who Peter calls some of these false teachers, just like he would anybody else. First of all, in verse number 1, "For there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." He even identifies them as being teachers and prophets, but yet they are false teachers and prophets. See, that's who he identifies them as. He's also, in verse number 4, we'll get there later, he speaks of them as being fallen angels. Fallen angels, that is, false teachers. Also, in verse 5, the pre-flood world, talking about the people before Noah in the flood. He identifies them as those people. And also, even in verse 6 through 9, as the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, false teachers. He's identifying them as who they are, where they're from. Now, also, notice their iniquities. In other words, their sin of these men. The sin of these men, he mentions them in verse number 1, teaching destructive heresies. In other words, they teach things that are not true to destroy the faith of people that want to know the truth. They teach that kind of stuff. They deny Christ in verse 1, the last part of verse number 1. They deny Christ. And then verse 3, they teach these things, false teachings, for materialism, to gain things for themselves. Look at the last part of verse number 3. Let's read verse number 3. "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make" what? "Merchandise of you." They're going to make merchandise of you by teaching these false things that they teach. Therefore, we need to be aware of this. We also see their condemnation. In the latter part of verse number 1, you find they're going to be swift to be destroyed. They're going to be destroyed. They will be destroyed. And swiftly, it's going to be a terrible end for those that teach error, teach apostasy, or teach falsely the Word of God. You know, the Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired from cover to cover. And shame it is for anybody to stand and try to teach what the Bible does not say. Shame it is for anybody. They're facing something that's going to be terrible one day. Shame it is for someone to rewrite or don't teach this word the way it is. You know, I am accountable to stand today before you and teach this book. I'm accountable. Every word I say, I'm going to give an account on one day. Therefore, I must be careful and say what I know is true from the Word of God, because I am accountable. And likewise, these people that are going out here and teaching the Word of God falsely, they are accountable in their lives. One of these days, they will give an account. We know in all ages, though, of the church, the devil sends some to deceive, false prophets and false teachers. There's always been someone around to do that. always has. In the Old Testament, there were false prophets. In the New Testament, they are called seducers, changing the Word of God, changing the Word of God to mean what they want to mean. Now, why in the world would people do this? First of all, we see that their business is to bring destruction to Earl. In other words, they don't want the truth. You know, isn't it sad today that people today don't want to hear the truth? They don't want to hear the truth. I was given this week through Carolyn, I think it was a 9 or 11-year-old, what was it, a 9-year-old girl? Anyway, she was interviewed up in Minnesota, I think, in some state. The legislature was trying to pass the same-sex marriage thing. And she was questioning those that were there, whoever the people were in council, as you call them. And she told them how much she appreciated her mother and her dad very much. She was 9 or 11, I forgot. But anyway, she said, let me ask you a question. She said, which do I need the most, my mom or my dad? Or which one are you going to take from me? Which one do I need the most in my life? She gave the council a few seconds to answer, and they said nothing. And she said again, let me ask you the question again. Which one do I need the most, my mom or my dad? And they could never answer her. But they went ahead and voted to pass the same-sex marriage, regardless. See, people don't want the truth today. They want what they want to hear, you know? They want their own lifestyle. And that's where false teachers have come in so much today in our world and taught that it's okay. Everything's okay. There's nothing wrong today. You can do what you want to do. Live your own way. Folks, that's not true. We're going to stand before God one day, even as God's children, and give an account for the deeds we've done in our life, the life that we live. We're going to give an account for that. So therefore, we need to be heed to this. They also, they're swift in their destruction. The consequences of people listening to these false teachers, what do they do to people? First of all, people that listen to them, they literally drink in the iniquity they hear in their systems, in their bodies, in their minds. They bring it into them like water, and then they are pleased to live in error. You know, if I hear the truth, and if I hear error, and that's all I hear, you know what I'm going to live like? I'm going to live like what I hear. I will be this. I am what I take in. You are what you take in. If I take in error, I'm going to live that way. If I take in truth, I'm going to try to live that way in my life. And therefore, it's very, very important here. The spreading of error will bring up an evil report also on the way of truth. Because there's so much error today in the world, people want to hear the truth less. Because people hear the error so much. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth no more because it's come in within them. So we see they use unfeigned words. In other words, counterfeit words. They pretend. They put on a front, so to speak, when they bring this. They flatter, and by good words and fair speech, they deceive the hearts of people. The hearts of people in front of them. So we see that's where we are today. Now, let's notice in Peter, in chapter 2, in verse number 4, as we look at some examples of the judgment of God upon Earl, God judges false prophets, okay, verses 4 through 8, while he rescues also the righteous, we'll see in verse number 9. Look at verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. Now, here we have the angels who sin. And angels, a company of believers. Angels are not a race of people. We know they were created as special people by God. Angels were. God only created so many angels. And when that number was completed, that's it. Angels do not reproduce themselves like we do. We see that. And we see that when were they created? They were created before the creation of the world. We find that in the Word of God, in Job chapter 38. Now, why were they created? Angels were created to glorify God. They were created to glorify God. But we know what happened in Isaiah chapter 14. When Satan became proud and wanted to take over even the throne of God. And he finally, God cast him out with a host of angels with him. They all were cast out. These angels sinned. Therefore, what happened? We find here, God cast them out. Nothing will exempt a sinner from punishment. Not even angels. Not even angels. Nothing will exempt a sinner from sin. Sin degrades the person who commits it. If it's me, it degrades us when we commit sin in our lives. So we see here what happened to these angels. We find the angels of heaven got rid of their glory because they were disobedient to God. They followed the false teacher, who was who? Lucifer himself. They followed him, and therefore they were cast out. Sin is the work of darkness, and darkness is the wages of sin, is the payment of sin, darkness in their lives. So we find here that the angels who sin, we find what happened to them. Now notice in verse number 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He spared the old world. Now you know the story of the world before Noah, during the days of Noah. They were wicked. They were ungodly. And all their imagination was ungodliness all the time. And God warned the people through Noah. He says, I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to destroy this world. Noah did for 120 years. He labored and told people that God was going to destroy the world, and they did not believe him. They did not believe him. What we find here, the sin was universal. Even if the sin that day was not universal, but it was in the part of the world that there was people only, and God destroyed that part of the world. But if sin is universal, it doesn't matter. We find the punishment shall likewise extend to everybody. If sin is universal, and sin is that way today. If there are but just be a few righteous, though, they shall be preserved. Noah and his family was preserved because they live for God. They serve God. We see this in wrath. He remembers mercy, God does. I'm so glad for a merciful God, aren't you? A God that loves us. He sends out mercy upon us every day of our life, folks. If it were not for God's mercy, I wouldn't even be here today. Probably you wouldn't either. I thank God for his mercy today. See, God saved Noah while judging the world with the flood. God saved Noah and his family. He was judged the world with the flood. We see that ungodliness puts men out of God's protection. Ungodliness puts men out of God's protection. And we see that into a place of destruction. To a place of destruction. And this is what happened in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah. Now notice also in verse number 6. Verse number 6. The Bible says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah over in the Old Testament. We see here in this passage here, as Peter is writing, we see that we know he destroyed the old world by what? Water. He's destroyed Sodom here by fire because of false teaching. Those who are sinners exceedingly before the Lord must expect a dreadful vengeance from God, because God is going to repay. God will repay. We see that men who live ungodly must see what they are to expect if they go out on still in a sin course, the course of sin. In other words, we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to reap what we sow. We sow sin, we're going to reap sin. When God sends destruction on the ungodly, He commands deliverance for His righteous people. His righteous people. And that's one of the reasons I believe that God's going to rapture the church before the tribulation period comes. He's going to get us out of this place. We haven't seen anything. Thank God we won't see it the way it's going to be, but God will deliver us. Notice here Lot. He's preserving Lot in verses 7 through 9. We see the character of Lot is given here. He's called a just man. He does not follow the multitude to do evil. Lot does not. We see in a city of injustice, he walks uprightly. But notice what happens. The impressions of sin of others made upon Lot. Living in the midst of sin will make an impression upon us. And it'll be for our downfall. It'll be for our downfall. And we see this here in the light of Lot. In bad company, we cannot escape guilt or grief. Guilt or grief in the very presence of bad company. When we are in the presence of bad company, we find that if we're not careful, we will become like bad company. It's a shame today we had to live in the world we live in and what we had to face. Some of you are facing some things in your workplace that you can't hardly bear. You're doing that. I know I've been in the world working too. It's not easy out there. It's only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God can you continue to be what you ought to be when you're in the presence of things that are ungodly. You hear it every day. You hear it every day. But just remember this, God is within you, and God will help you overcome the things that you're facing in your life. God's grace is sufficient, folks. God's grace is sufficient in everything that we have to deal with. The Lord knows you're His child. The Lord knows all His children. And we find the wisdom of God is never at loss to His people. God will give us direction in our lives to overcome what we have to face every day in our life, no matter what it is. We see the deliverance of the godly is the work of God. It's the work of God. Sometimes we want to change things ourselves, but we have to rely upon God to change things in our life that we're facing that are hard. Pray and ask God to help you, give you the wisdom that you need. The unjust has no share in the salvation of God. The unjust do not share in God's salvation. We find here the wicked are reserved for the day of judgment. There's a day of judgment coming for the wicked in this world today we live in. God saved Lot here. He got him out of that place, okay, while judging Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. He delivered Lot. But the sad thing is, what happened to Lot? Not long after he got out, we know he got in sin. What happened there? See, but again, being entangled with sin, being in the very midst of sin, a place where sin is abounding, can deceive us, can lead us into temptations. And when we're in those kind of temptations, if we're weak, we're going to fall. And we're going to get in sin ourselves, you see. What am I saying here? Peter's trying to instruct us. Peter's trying to help us like Jude is and to remind us of false teaching. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Stay away from things that are not true in your life and you know they're not true. I'm so glad today that God allows the Holy Spirit to come in us as a child of God. And when He is in us as a child of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God gives us direction. He gives us instruction and wisdom to know what is truth and what is not truth. Folks, if it were not for Him living within us, we wouldn't have a chance. We wouldn't have a chance in this world because we fall for everything. No matter what somebody tried to teach us, we would believe it. But thank God, the Holy Spirit of God reveals to us the Word of God. And we know it's true or it's false. It's truth or it's error when we hear it today. So I'm so glad today that God, in His time, in His Word, He has preserved for you and I to realize truth from error. Truth from error. The Word of God is so precious, folks. It really is. And we see as God has recorded these things for us, again, it's to remind us of our weakness. Our weakness. We need God's strength. We need God's power in our life to enable us to live the life here on earth as a Christian. I can't do it myself. You can't do it yourself. It takes the grace of God. It takes the Word of God, the power of God, to help us to be able to do what God wants us to do in our lives. So we see here that truth and error, false teaching, apostasy, is a dangerous thing, folks. It's a dangerous thing. Sin will destroy. Sin will hurt. It'll tear up people and families and all this. And as we look here at Sodom and Gomorrah, we know that it's probably one of the most terrible judgments on the human sin that they did. It's a terrible judgment to destroy a city with fire here. But it's also, it is popular standard of judgment of sin. You know God's going to destroy this world one day with fire? He's going to destroy this world and everything in it because of what? One of the words, sin. Because of sin. It's coming, folks. It's coming. And may the Lord help us as we look at this. We see this story is told in the book of Genesis about Sodom and Gomorrah. Our Lord here, more than once, shows us this judgment against sin in our lives and the lives of other people that we are around. He threatens upon cities where the word is preached in vain. The Bible tells us in Revelation that we're not to add to or take away from the Word of God. When we do, we're going to bring judgment upon ourselves if we do that. So may the Lord help us and encourage us today as we focus upon the truth of God's Word, realizing that we need to hear the truth. Aren't you glad that you come to a place where you can hear the truth? I mean, you can hear the Word of God. I mean, listen, folks, there's a lot of churches you could go to today and you wouldn't hear the truth. You wouldn't hear the truth. I mean, you would hear something to satisfy the flesh. You would go out maybe happy, yes, but you wouldn't go out nourished. You wouldn't go out being fed the Word of God and knowing how to maybe change your life or how to live better for the Lord or do more for the Lord. And that's why we come to church. That's why we hear the truth. That's why I want to hear the truth, folks. I don't want to hear something that's just going to make me happy and tickle my innards and you know, make me laugh and all that. I don't want to hear just that. I want to hear something that's going to give me what I need in my life because I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to face this afternoon. But I know one thing. If I rely upon the Word of God, God is going to get me through it. He's going to help me. He's going to give me the strength that I need to be what I ought to be because I want the truth. I want the truth. I don't want someone to tell me something that's not true. You know, that's one thing that I do not like to tolerate in life, and neither do you. My, may the Lord help us today as we focus upon these reminders here of God's judgment upon people like you and I. These people in Sodom and Gomorrah are people just like you and I. Israel, the nation of Israel, are people just like you and I today as we live in this world. And see what they did, how sin abounded in their lives, and what was the results of that sin in their lives. They no longer had the blessings of God upon them. No longer had God's blessings upon them. And I'm sad to say, but I'm afraid this is where America is headed today. Because we're taking away the truth. Gradually by gradually, the truth of the Word of God is trying to be taken away from this world in which we live. You take away prayer. You take away the Ten Commandments. What are you taking away? You're taking away the truth from the Word of God. You're taking it out of this country. Out of the country, you know. Therefore, people don't see these things. We're not reminded of these things that we need to be reminded of daily in our lives. Therefore, we become more laxed in our life to live the way we want to live and do what we want to do. Why? Because we're not seeing the truth. The truth is not in front of us. Other things are in front of us. What I see and what you see, we will become, folks. We will become. Therefore, we need to hear, we need to see the Word of God every day in our life. I trust the Lord would help us in this study here today as we look at it again and remind ourselves and warn ourselves of what will happen when we don't hear the truth. Warn ourselves. Recognize ourselves the problem, the danger of false teaching. False teaching in our lives. And when we don't hear it, the truth, it'll destroy us. It'll destroy us. It'll make us do things we would not ordinarily do because we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. May the Lord help us and strengthen us. Next week as we continue, we're going to try to finish up the book of Jude, the last four verses there, verses 20 through 25, five verses. And we're going to talk about the encouragement of true believers and how we're to obey God. Encouraging Christians in this day in which we live, in the time of apostasy, how you and I as Christians should be encouraged, and we should face our duty to Christ. We owe it all to Christ, folks. All that we do, all that we ever could do, we owe to Christ because He's done so much for us. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You once again for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that You've given us to share today. I pray, God, You would help, Lord, somehow, Lord, these stammering words today that I've said to people. I pray that they might read these verses again in the book of Jude and also in 2 Peter in chapter 2. Lord, to remind us of what You have done in the past in regards to sin. And God, that You're the same God today that You were then. And God, You deal harshly with sin. You do judge sin. And God, I pray, Lord, You'd help us to be found faithful to the Word of God, teaching the truth, living the truth, sharing the truth, no matter where we go, Lord, until Jesus comes. Lord, may this be our goal in our life. Lord, we come now, Lord, as we approach the next service. I pray for the singing. I pray for the special. I pray again for our pastor that You will bless him and give him wisdom, give him power, give him strength to proclaim to us today the Word of God that You have laid upon him to share with us. Lord, help that one today that does not know Christ as Savior to realize, Lord, that You love them. Lord, that Jesus died for them. And Lord, I pray today they might come to know Christ as Savior today as they're here. Speak to our hearts as children of God. Encourage us and direct us, Lord, today in all we do. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.